Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's James.
The craziest friggin' guy I have ever worked with.
And Wiggy.
Wiggy calling anybody fat is like OJ calling someone a murderer.
With Andy Hart.
Patriots.com, we have done online radio.
But that's not real radio.
James, Wiggy, and Hart.
How about my former partner, Mark James?
Social media, 50.
You're blocked.
He's terrible on social media. He doesn't do anything.
Now you can shut the hell up.
Entertainment value, I gave him a 93.
Look at Jerry, man. I love
him. Yeah.
Likeability. Negative 54.
By the way, I'm glad there's one person laughing at this.
But he did get a 96 on sobriquets.
At least I know how to pronounce sobriquet.
Andrew Trashner.
Ball skied to right field. First pitch. It is deep and it is gone.
95% we will see Gronkowski this year or next year.
I think he is coming back. I've said that all along.
I say no.
Not coming back, period.
It's not going to happen this year.
I'm not going 99%, but I'll go 75, 80%. Yeah, I think he's coming back.
He's not coming back.
He's Dunski. Next Tuesday, I will have an answer for you.
James, Wiggy, and Hart. On Sports Radio WEEI.
A good Wednesday, everyone. Great intro there by the Fred Norris of Boston Radio. Ken Laird. It is Wiggy, Jermaine Wiggins, Andy Hart, Mark James here with you. And I will say before we get anything, you know, some of those times you guys ever forget your phone at home? Do you ever forget it?
I don't think I have.
I don't think I've ever forgot it at home. And got like, well, I might have forgotten and be like, I got to go back and get my phone.
Right. I could have done it, mm-hmm. but I don't live that far away. But I just decided to say, you know what? Let's go old school today.
Right.
Let's just go old school. I'll pretend now you have me, mm-hmm. gentlemen, on Adderall.
Right.
So I'm focused. There's no distractions.
Oh, boy.
Well, are you looking at your phone during the show?
I mean, no, just to look
everybody
up stuff.
Everybody does.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
come on.
Everybody.
Then you heard Curtis talk about don't look at the text line. You shouldn't be looking at your phone during the show.
Well, I would say during commercial breaks and stuff like that. But that's during the show.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit there. I will say this. Speaking of Curtis, I'm glad you brought him up because last night when 8 o'clock hit, mm-hmm. there was this thing on ESPN. After they showed it, they showed the 30 for 30 documentary, Unguarded, which is the Chris Herron story by mm-hmm. directed by Jonathan Hawk. I texted Curtis. I said, listen, there's a new thing coming up at 8 o'clock called The First Day. And it was Chris Herron going around to a bunch of high schools throughout mm-hmm. the country in West Hartford, Connecticut, in Rhode Island, in Massachusetts, down in Ohio, all over. And it was called The First Day. I said, you should check it out. And he goes, oh, thanks a lot. He's like, I'll check it out. And I got to tell you, from someone, and we all know the story, Chris Herron, certainly from Durfee, Fall River, and was a tremendous athlete there, went to Boston College. Obviously, he had to leave there. Unfortunately, he got hooked on drugs and was an alcoholic, although he goes all the way to Fresno State, plays for the late, great Jerry Tarkanian, gets drafted by the Denver Nuggets, and then ends up playing for the Celtics, the whole thing. But I will tell you, I didn't think I'd be like, because you've heard it before, but the theme of this, did either one of you see it?
No.
You?
I didn't see it, but I was at, he did come to my son's middle school maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. So,
okay.
So I've seen him talk to the kids in person.
All right. So the thing that really got me, mm-hmm. two things in particular, really, and I wish Chris Curtis was here today, but because he would be able to talk more about this. But
they're catching the ants but missing the elephants.
He said, we can all come here and we can show you a movie for 30 minutes and show you what someone looks like in their worst state on crack, heroin, fentanyl, Molly, you name it. He goes, what about the first day? He goes, what about the first day where you're someone who just looks like everybody else in the crowd? It's the first day you pick up, you start doing pills, you start hitting the pipe, you start doing this, you start doing that. That really hit home. And then the part where he said at the end, he goes, listen, guys, he's like, I'm not here today for me to tell you my story. I'm here to help you with your story and what you're going to write. I was like, wow, goosebumps, chills. And then afterwards, they showed these young students, young girls and boys going up to him and just saying, crying, hugging him and saying, can I have your contact information? And he's like, I'm here for your story. He goes, forget about my story. And I was just like, it was so unbelievably well done. And I figured you, back in the 90s, being a hot shot athlete at Eastie, you might have crossed paths. Did you ever play against Chris?
Yeah, we crossed paths.
Did you?
I think it was in the state tournament against them. Might have been like, I want to say like 92 maybe. We might have played against 92, 91, somewhere in that era. Because I graduated in 93. I believe he graduated in 94. Mm-hmm. So he might be a year younger than me. So him and I crossed paths on the basketball court, during
those. Did he dunk on you?
During those days. No. I was a very, very good basketball player, Andy Hutt.
Okay,
very,
just so was
very,
he.
Very, very
you don't
talented.
Have to get defensive.
I am just saying.
I don't
saying.
Know what your NBA 2K rating was in high school.
It was pretty good in high school, back in those days. But I've known Chris for a long period of time, just being in those AAU basketball circles back in the early 90s and knowing what type of player he was. You know what I mean? He was think about it. He was one of the baddest dudes around here in Boston, kind of in this Massachusetts area as far as basketball players. And he was a white dude and he was killing it. So, that's why his name kind of echoed throughout the whole state of Massachusetts. And I did get to hear his story. Like I said, this was probably, Jesus, how long ago is this? Might have been like 5 or 6 years ago where he came to my kid's middle school. And, because like you said, he goes around to these different schools. And what's really cool, he's very engaging when he speaks and he does, he's not just up there and he's just talking. And you as like, if you're sitting in the crowd, you know how kids are. They're kind of like, if you don't really like engage them. Yeah, they tend to kind of go off.
A little ADD.
Yeah, they kind of start daydreaming. But he's very engaging. He's very he tells stories about his personal battle for him and what it was like in his journey and like all the different things. And he like hooks you in because he's giving you the real, like he's not sugarcoating nothing. You know what I mean? Like he's giving you like the real stories. And I think that's what really captures the essence of when he's going around talking is like because he's telling you about like how I think there was one story he told I'm not sure how he remember how he said it, but like how he was high before the game.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so I think that's something that kids really like, whoa, because now they see, wow, you had this type of talent. He played, obviously played in the NBA, but, who knows what kind of career he would have been able to have.
Oh, yeah. I was in high school. I was a little younger than him, but Dartmouth would play him. And I like how he's saying, he's a white boy doing this.
Right.
I remember because when you expect, racist or not, I'm going to say it, great white basketball player, you assume he can shoot. So you go to a game thinking, okay, you're going to watch him drain threes.
Right.
But he would drain a three, and the next time down, drive by somebody and dunk. And you're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, he was talented.
Not exactly what
he's
I was
a good
thinking.
Athlete.
Phenomenal athlete. You're right. Probably never reached the levels he could have, even though he made the NBA.
Right.
And for, a Massachusetts boy, that's a pretty, pretty impressive thing. But as a parent, like I have middle school kids, he's targeting or delving into your worst fears. Because you can say whatever you want, you can raise them the way, but the reality is one or two mistakes by them, which can happen in a group setting, and their whole life goes in a different direction than what it could have, especially now where it starts with, these jewels and the vaping is so big in middle schools.
Right.
And what does that lead to? Trying other stuff.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good.
And it's just like, you're helpless. You're helpless as a parent to some degree. You can try your ass off, but the reality is you don't decide. The kid decides.
And I always try to tell the kids this, and I think kind of Chris, I think he might have mentioned this, and it was something that I kind of like stole from him and kind of, always used. I think he had maybe might have mentioned that is like, if you want to know where you're going to be in life or, you want to get a good idea, it's going to look to your left and look to your right. It's the people that you're hanging around with because they're going to have a huge influence in your life. They're your friends. And that is that's usually a lot of kids' downfall is, right? They start hanging out with this certain crowd, and next thing you know, and you got to try to keep like-minded people like, you know, like yourself. And I think when you look at Chris Herron, he'd be the first to tell you that I bet a lot of the stuff that he kind of maybe might have got into is just, you know, you start putting the wrong type of people around you and you start going down the wrong path. But it is really good to see that he's been able to change his life. I know he's got a kid that plays at Boston College.
That's right. Yep.
So he's really changed his life, and now, you know, he's taken something that was an extreme negative and he's turned it, you know, for a better term, into a positive, and he's able to go around and talk to kids all over the country.
Well, there was times when I would come into the arena playing against Texas or UMass, you know, 12 o'clock noon, and I'd be in a car with two girls that I had no idea their names, and I hadn't slept yet, and I'm doing my last line of cocaine as I'm walking into the arena. And I hadn't ate anything, I haven't done anything, and the last thing I drank was a Budweiser.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that, like, you know, and you see guys, you know, if you can play at a collegiate level or a professional level, like, you're always going to come on guys that you see and you're like, man, you know, and then you hear some of these stories and it's like, man, you were doing that before a game. Like, yeah. It's like.
Well, do you remember in the documentary Unguarded, he actually talks about how he literally was out on Causeway Street before a game in his Celtics warm-up looking for a score,
right.
Looking for, to get a hit.
Which tells you how good he is. Like, think of Tom Brady. You can understand why he's great, because he puts everything he has is focused on being great.
That's it.
Chris Herron was the opposite, doing everything he could to derail it, and yet still was an elite Division I basketball player.
Still was able to keep it together.
Right.
To keep it together.
Imagine what he could have been if he were TB12 method and focused solely on being the best he could be in his talents.
Right, and that's the thing. I think that's the thing that you really look at. That's like the biggest thing, you know, is you hate to see is wasted talent.
That's
right?
You hate
to see it. And
Bronx Tale. That was the Bronx Tale theme. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's plenty of athletes that have come up, and there's always plenty of athletes that you grow up with in high school or even in college or even in the, you know, for me in the pros, that you go, man, he was so talented, but, you know, wasn't able to do this, wasn't able to do that, let this get in the way, and it's just wasted talent.
Because I had such a minuscule schlanger, I turned to drugs.
That was Howard's turn.
You know, but it's
no, but he, one of the things he reveals in this thing, too, and you guys get a chance to check it out, he talks about how his mother and dad divorced. His dad was a politician. His mom had some really good job in corporate America because his dad was a major alcoholic.
Right.
And he said that when he would go home to his mom, he did not want his mother to smell the same scent off her son's breath as a teenager that she would off her husband when they would be going to bed. Mm. And I thought that was pretty powerful too. And it was just like, wow. The good news is that in the end that there is a happy ending, is that as great of a basketball player as he was, he was meant to go through this arduous journey of life to be able to go now and tell it. And you could see the impact that he had. If you watch this, the kids in the audience that just put their heads down in their hands and are crying, and then afterwards to talk to him, it's like, this is the reason he's now put on earth for this reason. Yeah. Like, this is the to let everybody know, listen, I wasn't McDonald's All-American. I was playing in the Big East against Ray Allen and Allen. He was that dude when he came in there. It was the freshman class. It was Iverson, Felipe Lopez, and Chris Herron.
Right.
That was that class. He was part of that class, and then he threw that away. He rebounded. He went to Fresno, and then he got drafted by the Nuggets. But this is why he's amazing.
Right.
Like, oh, I would love to get him in studio and just talk to him and just have
he's definitely got a lot he could talk about. Another good documentary is The Dominican Dream with Felipe
Lopez. Yeah, I saw that.
If you get a chance
was amazing.
To see that.
Saw that.
But, you know, it's you know, and he's a local kid, and it's always, you know, I'm always, like, proud to see local kids, you know, have the opportunity. When I was growing up, it was Ron Stone, Dana Barrows, Travis Best, though he was from
our guy.
It was Eric Brunson, and it's always, you know, good to see guys that had the opportunity, you know, and like I said, it was good that he was able to get to a certain level, but obviously it was sad to see that he was able, that, you know, during that time he kind of came to his demons. But it is good to see him bounce back. And if you can get a chance to see this documentary, like I said, I was able to see him up close and personal. And I, you know, growing up around here, you know the Chris Herron story. So, you know, it's good to see that he's been able to bounce back from that.
And seeing what he's doing now, you could argue, okay, he didn't realize maybe his basketball potential, right, which is flashier and sexier, right, but certainly there's more value to the community than what he's doing now.
Oh.
Because who knows whether it's, you know, one kid per school that he changes, or 10 kids per school, whatever it is.
Let me just say this, and this is another thing, and I'm spoiling it here, but you just got to see it. Like, he talks to this girl. And this girl, I think she was in Ohio. She was at some high school in Ohio, and she was she's unmercifully bullied. Mm-hmm. And Chris Herron came to speak to her school. She got the courage to go sit at the cool kids' table one day.
Right.
And what she did was, and he tells the story, she goes to the table, and people are telling her, oh, you're at the wrong table, this, that, and the other. All these people are putting on Snapchat and Instagram, teasing her unmercifully. She rolls up her sleeves. Cuts on both arms on the sleeves, and she said, I just want you to know, with everything that you say to me, this is what you've done to me, this is what you've brought me to. I'm a cutter. He said he gets an email from her once a month saying, hey, because of it, she's like, I sat at the cool kids table, they stopped after that day.
Right.
She goes, I wouldn't have had the confidence to go and sit at that cool kids table and show them the pain, literally, mentally, physically, emotionally, that I'm going through. And ever since then, it stopped. And she sends them an email every month to show that, you know, I'm, because of you. And that is the power. I mean, listen, I'm not being, I mean, that is the real life power that goes well beyond. Right. And, you know, as much as we sit here and extol and sing the praises of Tom Brady, this kid's saving people's lives.
Yeah.
Especially the youth of America.
Well, yeah, I mean, you go through certain things, and all you can do if you're a you know, guy like Chris Herron, all you can do is now tell your story, show how your downfall, you know, ruined your life to a certain extent, and hopefully there's the next Chris Herron that might be sitting in the audience that might say, you know what, I'm not going to go down that road. You know, I'm not going to allow, you know, these outside factors to derail me or derail what it is I got going on. So I think that's a, you know, obviously, like you said, that's a good thing for him.
And it's obviously also an ongoing battle. We see it with Josh Gordon and, you know, him trying to get back in the league, or Martavis Bryant and these guys and the way, you know, maybe the NFL is softening its stance against these guys with addictions and alcohol and marijuana and, you know, sort of treating it as an illness rather than you're just out, you know, three strikes, you're out of the league, and suspended indefinitely, maybe trying to get them help. And I know certainly from a Patriots perspective and Brady, they're hoping Gordon is among those that gets reinstated and comes back. But I also think, you know, we're making the Brady comparison just because he is the top of the mountain here.
Right. Yeah.
I think a lot of kids can look at Tom Brady and say, like, he's perfect.
That's it.
Like,
that's it.
I already screwed up, but, you know, I did drugs in high school. He probably never did drugs. He grew up this. He went to Michigan. Or you look at a guy like Chris Herron or Josh Gordon and say, well, they screwed up too.
Tom Brady's like the unicorn, right?
Right.
He's like that.
Yeah.
He, when you look at Tom, he's kind of like, you know, and good for him. I mean, I don't knock somebody for, you know, doing the right thing. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you know, Chris Herron got to a certain point in his life where he made some bad decisions, right? He's got to take some of the onus on him, right?
Yep, no question.
And Chris would be the first to tell you that. When you look at Brady, you know, he's been in a situation where, you know, and I don't know the full extent of his life growing up, but everybody kind of comes to paths in the road, and you got to make the right decision. And Tom made the right decisions. And so you never knock a guy for doing that, or say, you know, hey, look with this guy, you know, put him on a pedestal and say, oh, well, we can't give him credit because of he's got everything, or he's doing everything the right way. He just, you know, made the good decision where other people, you know, sometimes.
Listen, we've all seen the infamous 2000 combine video with him with his shirt off.
Yep.
And he was a 6th-round pick.
Right.
So he had to earn his way. And then from there, the most amazing thing, and not to, we'll talk enough about Brady and the Patriots today. The most amazing thing about Brady, it's like, okay, you're Jordan. Nobody will ever win six Super Bowls. Like, okay, Bill Russell's won, like, 11 titles.
Right.
So, you know.
A different era and a different game.
A different era. Jordan's won six, and we view that as the end-all, be-all because that was in our generation, and that's what we, that's our frame of reference. Nobody will ever catch, I can sit here and tell you, after we're long gone, nobody will catch Tom Brady as a starting quarterback with more Super Bowl wins. Nobody.
Right, and Tom's not even done.
Well, that's just it, is that today he is preparing for this season as if it's 2000 and he's fourth on the depth chart behind you know, Bledsoe and Damon Heward and all the, and he's like, he still to this day is preparing for Super Bowl 7 as if it's, I've got to look at this.
And I think that's what
I
makes
it work out. Oh, yeah. I love to train and I love to eat good. You know why I love to eat good? Because it makes me feel better. And if I feel better, then I can work out more. If I can work out more, I go play soccer with my kids.
Oh. And make out on the beach with Giselle. You see
well, that, that yeah. That
down in Costa Rica for the last week, I guess, before camp.
I got to start eating good now.
Yeah.
But the thing about, I think the thing about, you know, Tom and what you're, what I think you'll ultimately say, and you probably might be able to make the argument now, is that he'll probably go down in history as the greatest athlete ever. Because, I mean, you talk about Bill Russell and you talk about Michael Jordan. The sport is different. You know, Michael Jordan, in you know, most cases in, you know, his championship run, he had seven game series where he was able to, you know, win these championships.
He never went to game seven.
No. But what I'm saying, he played in a seven game series.
Yeah.
Where Brady was like one and done.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
The difficulty in one and done versus seven game series.
That's an interesting point.
Like, you know what? We stumbled in game one. We seen with the Boston Red Sox being down 0-3 against the Yankees, right? And still be able to come back. And football, it's one and done, and it's a different type of mindset. And you look at the era that Brady played in versus, you know, maybe Bill. We talk about Bill Russell, and Bill Russell played, what, 9 or 10 seasons with, like, Cousy or Havlicek,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
You think about the free agency today versus when Bill Russell played, and, you know, those guys weren't going nowhere, so you were able to build these dynasties of players where Brady's, you know, rolling in guys all the time.
Right. I think two of the most impressive things about Brady are, A, physically the way he's done it differently over 20 years. You know, from Jermaine Wiggins, dink and dunk, and we need the defense and special teams and punt returns to Randy Moss, and we're just going to score 50. Right. We're going to whoop your ass, and we're not taking any prisoners. And then sort of evolving to Gronk and the tight ends, and then back to this year where it was sort of defense and just doing just enough. And then the other is, in this age of the NBA, the ego. Like, I know that, you know, a couple years ago there was the whole fissures and cracks in the foundation between he and Bill, but for 20 years, he's coexisted with Bill Belichick and the sharing of the spotlight and the greatness and the egoless. And
does Tommy think he's the reason they won? They win? Yep.
Right. And so does Bill. But somehow, he or Bill or both, you know the phrase Robert Kraft likes, you subjugated their egos, whatever it is, the way he's been able, like, that wouldn't have worked. The stories you hear out of Green Bay with
Rodgers and McCarthy.
Both of them. Favre and Rodgers and the way their Hall of Fame franchise QBs, they couldn't keep it rolling.
Well, here's the thing. When you think about Tom Brady and one of these guys I'm throwing out, and yes, he's only been in the league 2 years. He has more Super Bowl wins than Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, all together.
Right.
All of them. Now, I know Mahomes only been in the league for two years, but it's just amazing when you think about
that. The thing about Tom is he doesn't...
And Roethlisberger.
He doesn't allow, like, the ego to bleed into the locker room or into the game plan or into the team. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, he's one of the most competitive guys I know. He's one of the most, you know, cocky and confident guys in a good way that I know. So he has that ego, right? He wouldn't be playing so long and wouldn't be playing at such a high level if you didn't have that ego and you didn't feel like you were the best, right?
Right.
But he doesn't allow that ego to bleed in. He doesn't allow, like, there are some guys.
Garoppolo traded.
Well, I don't know about that one.
Yes, you do.
Really? Come
yes,
on.
Yes, you do.
You believe that?
Right in the Kraft's office. I'm with Ken on that one. Jimmy
you,
G.
Listen, but
they couldn't
there's no way in, on God's green earth that he's walking into Kraft's office and going, listen, hey, you got to get rid of this guy. He's breathing down my neck. He's way too competitive for
lickety
that.
Lickety-lick.
He might not allow him to get any reps. you know. But he's not walking in.
But Ken, you also understood that I'm represented by the same agent, Don Yee. Like, he wanted the big money. They couldn't have. I mean, they could have franchised.
No, there's no way they weren't
franchise a backup quarterback for $25 million.
But it was a choice, him or me.
But Brady. But people make it sound like, and what you making it sound like, Ken, is people make it sound like Tom walked into Robert's office.
Of course he did.
Hey, Robert, we need to have a conversation right now. This Garoppolo kid gotta go.
Which would be, by the way, a direct opposite approach to what he did at Michigan, right? Everybody praises him for not leaving Michigan. Yep. He could have left there. He got screwed over. And he stayed, right? The whole thing. Especially in this day and age where people transfer all the time. People go to three colleges.
Colleges are like free agents.
Right. So now he gets to the NFL and there's a guy behind him who's clearly behind him.
Right.
There was never a single person that said Garoppolo should be starting. Garoppolo's better.
Belichick hinted that he could do exactly what Tom could do.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, he hit it. He said that he could do all
run
the things.
Run the offense.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said he wasn't.
Did he ever once say we have an open competition?
He wanted it. He wanted to win without Tom.
Listen, Ken and I, I think if Belichick had his way, they would have gotten.
But do you believe Tom went into Kraft's office and Bill's like, all right, we got to get rid of this
You
guy.
Can argue Belichick would want to get rid of him for the long term.
Yeah.
But I don't think.
Go out there and run everything that Tom can run.
Right. But when he says that, he doesn't mean he can make every single throw and every single. He means.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. He means he runs the offense. Right. Like, we're not going to screw up the call. If we're in a bad look, he's going to change it. We're not saying he's going to make every throw.
He understands what this offense is. He understands how to run this offense. Now, he doesn't mean that, hey, guess what? He can run this offense and run it at the same level Tom Brady runs it at. But he means that when he gets into the system.
Well, Jacoby Brissett did it for a couple games and a half, too.
Yeah, when he gets into the system, it's something that doesn't. It's not really affecting him.
Right. But tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us. 49ers are getting a good player, they're getting a good person, and they're getting a great teammate.
And I text him every week to check in.
And he knows, and Bill knew, there's no way he could have kept Garoppolo. I mean,
But he's coming back, that's what I hear. After this year, it only cost the 49ers $4 million. Brady's not getting any younger. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's coming back, baby.
We'll get to something.
We'll see if he gets a full year under his belt and see what
Jimmy.
He looks like.
we'll get to something coming up, too. ESPN.com, Field Yates, Lewis Riddick, and Mike Sando?
Yes.
They did a thing, power rankings, not just for this season, which normally I hate power rankings, but they did it for the next 3 years, which make it very interesting. Want to grab this phone call who has a story to share in Rhode Island. Robert in Rhode Island. Robert, good morning. You're on with Wiggy, Hart, and James. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, good.
I just wanted to know if you guys would compare Jay Williams to the gentleman you were talking about earlier, Chris. Yeah. Because I believe he had a great career at UNC, and then, you know.
You mean Duke.
Went to the NBA.
Duke.
I apologize. Yeah,
Duke. Yep.
And then went to the NBA, and I'm not exactly sure if it was drugs or alcohol, you know, one and the same, I guess, if you abuse it, but his career went downhill.
Yeah.
Didn't he have the motorcycle?
Yeah, he had the inspiration.
Yeah, he had a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, right. He blew out his knee, but like it was shredded.
Yeah, he came back from that.
But he was never the same.
Did he have any off the court issues?
Yes. He had an oxy addiction.
He told a story.
Okay. Yep.
He told a story where he woke up one day in the New York City subway and had no idea where he was. One of those things, and was like, "That's when I have to change it."
Oh, there you go. Then yeah, I get you know. What I mean,
interesting.
Now he's working for ESPN. I believe he still is.
No, he is. He's a very prominent part.
Yeah,
he's on Get Up almost every morning. He's on game day for college basketball. It's interesting. I I'm not judging who went through where, but obviously
similar paths.
Yep. Aaron will be the first to tell you. Now, the one thing I don't know, Eamon, if you could check this out, is that. Was Jay Williams' oxy addiction due to the horrific motorcycle accident?
Right.
It was.
It was.
So Heron will tell you He just was addicted to going back to high school.
Well, I don't know Jay Williams in college at Duke. Was he having any issues?
I don't drugs? Believe
so. Sounds like it was post-accident, so. Which is also a whole modern issue that a lot of people deal with.
But at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? At the end of the day, it's you're both walking down the same path. You know, maybe one's is a little bit bumpier than the other, but you're still walking down the same path.
True.
I mean, you still had a life style that took you in a completely different direction. How you got there, you know, I think is kind of irrelevant.
Right. And there's others. I mean, Josh Hamilton is the prototypical story of, you know, what do we, he was in like a trailer, similar story, just in a trailer park.
Yep.
And then came back and was an MVP and home run derby and all that. So, you know, the highs and the lows.
I mean, you see the guys all the time. Like you said, we talk about Josh Gordon. Here's a guy who's trying to get back into the league. And, you know, and Patriots fans want to know, is this guy ever going to play again? And you think that maybe Goodell is trying to be in a situation where I don't want to really, because technically he should be banned from the league for
a
lifetime. But he's at the point
Well, there's a more sensitivity and understanding now in this day and age where before if a guy was going down that path, it would be like, okay, you know, you're caught next up. But the Patriots, I mean, you've seen him, like the Instagram video of him at Tom's house in Brookline and catching passes.
That's because he's a talented player.
Well, he's amazingly
the more
talented.
The more talent you have, the more chances you get.
The leash tends to get a little bit longer. It's like one of those leashes that you buy at Petco. With the little button on it, you know, they come in like 25 feet, 15 feet, 10 feet. You know, when you're a guy like me, you got like a 2-foot leash.
well, speaking of,
why ain't it going any further?
Speaking of practicing with Tom, somebody who's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, has put odds on Tom's now former teammate, Rob Gronkowski. He's put odds on the percentage of Gronk coming back. Wiggy, Hart, I will chime in, and I will chime in what odds I give on that. Let's get to that next. Gronk possibly coming back. There's a percentage that Mike Florio has given. We'll ask him why in the final hour of the show. That's all coming up. We'll get to that next right here on Wiggy, Hart, and James, WEI.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Report day for three NFL teams, rookies, and Denver's full squad. Reports today, 15 days before the Hall of Fame game. It is getting closer. Patriots rookies Sunday and a week from today, right? Wednesday is report day for the veterans.
Yep.
So, all over the place. We're 50 days away from Bears-Packers on Thursday night. Football is coming and coming soon.
Not soon enough. But, I mean, 5 hours and 40 minutes Sunday night for Red Sox Dodgers. 4 hours last night. So you're talking 10 hours, Ken, for two games this week.
Yeah, but you got to see a lot of Andrew Cashner. That was good.
Oh, was it?
Well, he has a new sobriquet. You heard Greg Dickinson's sobriquet.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
You like
one.
It? Andrew
Trashner.
Trashner.
Yes.
Andrew Trashner. It happens to us all. We spend too much time with Mark James. You start coming up with stupid nicknames. That's
40 sick. After last night's debacle, 42-80 in his starting record on the back of his baseball card, Ken Laird.
Too much time off. He was rusty.
He's rusty.
I know the NFL is right around the corner, but do not forget college football is right around the corner. My Georgia Bulldogs going to win the national championship.
I will be in Orlando at the 150th kickoff to the college football season. Miami, Florida in Orlando.
Okay.
Cannot wait. So we'll see what your dogs look good. Jacob Fromm,
Florida's quarterback,
Felipe Franks,
also a Red Sox draft pick.
I know.
Draft was 94.
I know.
EEI.com plug. Good story there by Hartman. Last night it was 10-4 Jays as Boston dropped their third in four games. 8-6 on the year against Toronto. Not
that was an
enough.
Embarrassment last night.
Did
you guys
so
watch
bad.
When Josh Taylor comes in, guy on first.
Yeah.
Can't throw to first when he has him picked off, goes to third, then a pass ball, he scores. Like, in my little league games, if that happens, I'm mad. Never mind a damn Major League Baseball game.
Everything going to be all right. Game 3 of the 4-game series tonight, 7-10 on the Shaw. Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. E-Rod tonight going for his 11th win. Darwinson Hernandez recalled before the game. He pitched a scoreless eighth. Ryan Brazier optioned.
By the way, when's Nathan Eovaldi coming? Soon, for a month.
His first save is coming.
Oh.
His first career save is coming.
Build him up for the Yankees.
Alex Cora never gave us a time frame when he'd be back.
Neither Dombrowski.
Drop him on the Yankees next week.
Good luck with that.
Keep him secret weapon. I love it. Sneaky. James, Wiggy, and Hart.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Listen, I'm just speculating. This is nothing that Rob and I talked about specifically. I don't want to get anybody's hopes up. Rob Gronkowski is retired, and it's unlikely that he will ever play football again. However, I did close my conversation with Rob yesterday when he called to tell me that he was going to retire. And I said, Rob, just keep in mind, if you ever have a change of heart, you can come back and play. I'm sure the Patriots would welcome you with open arms. If it's sometime during the season, if it's late in the year, if you feel good and you want to come back and play, we will make it happen. That's all. I was just a suggestion. He's 29 years old.
He's Dunsky.
Yeah, just like your boy in the NHL playoffs.
Chara?
Yeah, Chara. He was Dunsky too. Yeah. Not so much, huh?
No,
how'd that one work out there?
Yeah, we all swing and miss every now and then.
Yeah, we do.
We all get burned by sources.
We do. Pro football. yes.
ProFootballTalk.com did a thing, storyline number 9. Will Gronk come back? And basically says the question of whether Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski has been discussed in many settings and contexts. When football season starts, Gronk may feel differently about his decision to walk away. But will he actually come back? A source close to Gronkowski pegs his potential for a first annual unretirement at 40%. 40. Now, normally, I first thought, like, when did Mike Florio become this sports handicapper, odds maker? But I will tell you, if I'm not mistaken, he started Pro Football Talk, and one of the major investors is Drew Rosenhaus.
Yes.
So I got to tell you, that 40% is probably pretty accurate. More accurate than we want to believe here. No.
I want to believe it. If you're a Patriots fan, don't you want to believe it?
I got him at 95%. I was going to go with the Jalen Rose 99%. Kawhi's going back to Toronto.
Right. Leaving yourself an out 5%.
Yeah, I'm leaving myself that 5% out, you know, but I'm saying 95%. He's either back this season or next season.
Well, that's what I thought was interesting in that sentence. Not just the 40%, first annual. So, like, the idea this could become a Brett Favre, Roger Clemens thing.
That's an oxymoron. There's no first annual.
Right.
Right. So, that's another bad thing there for Florio.
Okay, don't fixate on that. It sounds like Florio, who you correctly tied to Drew Rosenhaus, is saying, it may be like a plan here where this is the new Gronk offseason. Oh, I'm retired, but maybe I'll be back in October or November.
What do you peg it at? Give it a percentage.
I would put it 75%.
Yeah, I would
say last night on TV 69% just to play the Gronk game.
Wink, wink.
It's Gronk.
Yes.
But
it's Gronk's favorite number.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
They're just, and if you have a good source telling you it's 40%, to me, you've already jumped the biggest hurdle.
Right.
Because to me, retirement is a yes or no question. It's not the percentage afterwards. It's, oh, everything hurts. I just can't do it anymore. I'm retired. Right. Or
yes, no, maybe so.
I'm feeling good. I think there's – it's almost the opposite of Parcells. Remember the old, if you're thinking about retirement, you're already retired?
Yep.
Right.
I feel like if you're already thinking about a comeback, you're on your way back, baby.
Retirement is underrated.
He doesn't want the training camp.
No, who does?
Nobody does.
Larry Fitzgerald talked about that at the owners' meetings when Gronk retired, and Fitzgerald was there to announce something. I forget. But so they were asking about Gronk. He's like, who wouldn't want to skip July and August and maybe September and then
focused on training camp?
You come in and feel good mid-season when everybody else is already dragging ass? Of course you would.
And how many guys really that still can play will walk away from the game? I mean, think about it and just say, you know what?
Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders.
Because everybody says Calvin Johnson really wanted to play, but Detroit didn't want to let him out of his contract. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to keep playing for Detroit. Same with Barry Sanders.
Sure.
So those guys still wanted to play.
Did you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I still want to play.
You still have the itch.
Yes.
Everybody talks about the itch and guys out there and...
Yeah, I still want to play, but, you know, the NFL, they kick certain guys out, and then they shut the door, they lock it, they lock all the windows. There's no way to get back in.
No, bar the windows.
Right, there's no sneaking in, there's nothing, there's no home invasions, anything.
Well, the one thing that I also found interesting, he says here, it's also believed that Coach Bill Belichick, who has declined to discuss the hypothetical possibility that Gronkowski will return, will not be an impediment to an unretirement.
Although Belichick easily could take the position that he doesn't want to create a precedent that encourages veterans to retire through the parts of the calendar that they don't like and then return for the good stuff, Belichick has been very supportive of Gronkowski, we're told. Also, and Andy, maybe you know more about this next sentence, a general softening of Belichick has been noticed with a different side emerging and an approach that is more player-friendly.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Yeah, I mean, I think he's softened on a lot of levels.
Yeah, that's over time. You've seen that.
Yeah.
Belichick.
Whether it's with the team or whether it's with some vacation and beach time.
He's not the same Bill Belichick that I remember out there on the field. And he's evolved as a coach.
Well, he's won more. He's gotten older.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like when he and Parcells.
Brady won the battle.
Yeah, sort of like when he and Parcells had the feud and they hated each other. Wouldn't even look. And then over years, it's softened, and then suddenly they're doing documentaries together, and they're sort of talking. So, yeah, there's a softening there. But what, first of all, they've already done it with Junior Seau. Junior Seau was a mid-season addition for this team. Yep. So what do those guys have in common? GOATs, Hall of Fame, you know, elite players. Do I think, no offense, Wiggy, but if you said I'm retired in March and then called in September and said, Bill, I was thinking of coming back, Bill would say, think again. But if you're the greatest tight end that's ever played the game.
Yeah, of course.
Of course I'll take especially they didn't replace anybody. They got no receivers.
Yeah.
They got no tight ends. And Gronk wants to play. My guess is they roll out the red carpet and say, come on down.
So you're not a fan of Demaryius Thomas?
Now, Demaryius Thomas is more likely to retire than be an impact player.
Right. I mean, those are guys like, you know, they're, you know, Gronk's not one in that category of the guys that want to play, but physically they just can't do it no more, or they're just a shell of themselves. I don't think that is the case with Rob Gronkowski.
No.
You know, when you look at Rob Gronkowski and his what he would be able to do, and I think he's still, when you put him on the football field, and we've seen it last year, even though when he wasn't at 100%, you still have to double team and account for this guy everywhere he is on the football field. I've seen one player like him before, which is Randy Moss.
Whoa.
It's pretty good company we're on. But when you look at what, and I said this the year after, with the not last year, but the year prior to that, when he had the good seat, when he had that really good season.
Yeah, all pro.
For sure.
I said this, that he wanted the money, the $14, $15 million a year like receivers. I said, he's more valuable than any wide receiver in the game. He's the most valuable player in the game, non-quarterback, because of the mismatches he creates and the ability to set defenses for the quarterback, because they know exactly when Rob's out there. Brady knows, okay, I'm getting man, I'm getting zone, and you look, he still has that presence.
Right. A defense has to account for him, and that's why – you know, people have talked about the weight loss. Oh, he can't come back. Yeah, is he going to be the exact same guy?
No.
Are they going to ask him to, you know, 25 times block a defensive end and we're going to run right behind you? No, but he is going to transform the passing game. And I firmly believe they need either Gordon or Gronk.
Right.
They need somebody that a safety has to think twice about. Because right now, all the safeties, all the defense is going to think about is Edelman.
Right.
They're not afraid.
If you're horny.
They're not afraid of Harry, N'Keal Harry. Is he a talented young receiver? Sure.
But they don't know what he is.
They have no idea what he is. He doesn't know what he is. Brady doesn't know what he is. So I think they need one of those guys, or I think this passing game is really going to struggle to find
itself. You know, the thing about it is when Gronk lines up outside the numbers and by himself and is like that wide receiver split out wide, you instantly know, okay, we got to make sure defensively we got some help over the top. We can't walk a linebacker out there. And
even from a decoy standpoint.
Well,
right.
Even
just think. Just but even, get in somebody's head.
But even like you said, even if with him losing weight a little bit, he's still 250, 255 pounds.
Oh, he can easily gain.
And his
back.
Ability to just, you know, the whole blocking thing, listen, people, stop. It's overrated, all right? Because in today's game, you don't have to be a good blocker. Just get in the way. And Gronk is big enough to get in the way.
His effort in the blocking game. How imperative.
Most of those guys.
Is that Bob Sosie?
Great question for Bob.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Sosie.
Most of those guys on the other side of the ball, I'm going to give you a little insight. They want to rush the passer. They really don't want to set the edge. So it's not very difficult to block those guys.
You know, it's funny. When I was in Charlotte, the Patriots were playing the Panthers in a Monday night game. This was Cam Newton's third season in the league.
Is that the controversial game?
The bear hug on Gronk game?
Yes, that game. And when Brady went after the refs after the game.
Chased him down the tunnel?
When it was, that was a BS call. We all know that.
BS, no call.
No call. No call, yeah. So we're going in the game. We're just comparing both rosters. And I'm said, you know, and I went to school at Miami when Greg Olsen was there. And I like Greg Olsen. I was like, well, I love Greg Olsen, but, you know, and he listened. So he texted me. And I'm like, you know, I got to admit, there's no comparison between Gronk.
I know. I went to Miami with Greg Olsen. And then he texted me. Then I went and hung out with him and his wife.
No. This was not weird. No, he didn't like what
I
said.
I thought you were my boy. You talk about Gronk being better than
me. Yeah, well, that's what I said. I said, there's no comparison between Gronk. I like Greg Olsen, but Gronk to him, there's no. He texted me and he was like, because, you know, what was the biggest knock on Olsen in his career? Can't block.
Right.
Yeah. Can't block. And you know, Gronk was
Tony Gonzalez couldn't block either, but
that's true probably too.
For himself.
Yeah, he won the greatest time. Notice that Mark James has went to the U with everybody.
Yes.
Greg Olsen is probably graduated. What year did Greg Olsen graduate?
He left 07 draft.
07. But he also went to school with Ray Lewis.
Right. No, I didn't say I wasn't there with Ray Lewis.
Jimmy Johnson. He was there with Jimmy Johnson back in the day.
I was Jerome Brown.
Frank Gore, Devin Hester, Jonathan Vilma, DJ Wilfork. So it was that era.
There you go.
That era. We'll come back next. Wiggy's got giving out Madden ratings. I heard mine.
Yeah. You are okay.
Yeah. He gave out Madden rating. By the way, I will tell you, he didn't score me low enough on one category. Wasn't likability, though. It was something else. You should have scored me lower on this other category. We'll get to that next. Also, we'll come up next hour. We got to get to the Red Sox and the mess that you saw last night and how bad this team is in position. And I said it, Wiggy, and nothing will change my mind. Now, until the trade deadline at the end of the month, sell. This team is not going to win the World Series. They don't have forget about the bullpen.
Right.
They don't have the starting pitching either. I mean,
they're struggling.
It is bad. It's real. Last night was a microcosm of this season right there in a nutshell. We'll get to all that. Wiggy Hart and James right here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We want back ends.
How about my former partner, Mark James?
Mark James? All right. Social media, 50.
He's terrible. He doesn't do anything. For a guy who's like he is, he's terrible on social media. He doesn't do anything. Less than I do.
I'm sensitive.
Entertainment value. I gave him a 93. Likeability.
Entertainment.
Negative 54. But he did
slightly higher than what I would give him, but we're around the same territory.
But he did get a 96 on sobriquets.
All right, so Wiggy's doing his Madden ratings, and there you go. I probably should have got. I'll tell you this, and I will get better as football season comes around. I've just sort of. I like using social media for the positive aspects. In other words, like Adrian Wojnarowski, Sham Sharania, Adam Schefter.
Newsfeed.
Yeah, like where you're like, wow, holy crap. Russell Westbrook just got traded to Houston and reunited with James Harden. Like that stuff.
Amari Stoudemire is looking to return to the NBA. Could be a good fit for the Boston Celtics.
Well, I'll tell you this, but here's a former Celtic. Hey, you talk
about Carmelo. We've moved on already.
No, I'm still on the Carmelo train.
Well, the one guy who's had a great big three season that I would like, who was originally drafted by the Celtics.
Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson. I wouldn't. Now, there's a scorer who could come off the bench, ISO Joe, and get you some points. And he would definitely accept being a bench player.
So you're only on Twitter for the news?
For the most part,
what about
the
funny stuff?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
Rex Chapman, blocker charge.
Oh, that's
some of the great.
Rex Chapman.
Tremendous.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that's true, too. No, that is.
You don't like the negative stuff that comes
with
No.
Like some of that.
Media.
It's funny. Some of it's funny. Like you can see some of the things that.
But you.
Trolls. You don't like trolls.
Yes, you don't like trolls.
I mean, that's fine. I just. Here's the thing about it. And it's. This is
so
a
then what is it?
Yeah, get to the point.
It's a bad
segment here.
The worst ad, too. I guess the reason why.
Why don't we get to the end of the clip?
I've been a little bit negligent on social media just because, you know what, Wiggy? I'm one of those guys where I look at things where you're sending out a text to the world, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to be in Western Mass tonight.
Why not? It's amazing how quick Ken is with that trigger finger. My God.
You call him the Fred Norris. So
He is. The thing is, it'd be nice to like to get paid for it, and I figure that when you don't get paid for it after a while, it sort of becomes like.
So paid for your tweet?
Thinks he's Kim Kardashian over here.
What's
a million
point?
A tweet.
Oh snap! Yeah, right. Mark James wants to get paid for his tweet.
Yes,
you're not an influencer.
Hold
yet.
On.
Clearly.
I'm not.
Gotta build your brand a little more.
Adam, Andy, we got to figure this out. Mark James, I follow him. Mark James. Let's see.
I don't think I do.
I don't.
Okay,
tweet
Mark
much.
James.
See, Felgirly is on FanCred, right? Does he get paid for that?
Yeah, FanCred.
Well, he's a part and owner of the company.
So Mark James wants to get paid for his tweets.
I don't want to get paid.
How many followers he got?
That's what I'm going to write down.
I don't know.
Who gets paid for their tweets? Kylie Jenner. I think I follow Kylie Jenner.
Well, Lori Loughlin's daughter.
Okay.
Right?
First of all, you're not a hot chick.
That's true.
There's one black mark against you.
So, Andy, let's figure it out. Mark James said he wants to get paid for his tweets. That's why he's like, yeah, here's one. So he has 10,000 followers. Kylie Jenner gets probably paid for her tweets.
Yes,
she
definitely.
Has 27 million followers. And so we found out why Mark James is not on social media.
Well, yeah,
he wants
but
to get paid
I will step it up as we now football season.
You have to step it up
gambling
a
advice.
To get paid for it.
A lot of fading going on.
Yeah, okay. Wiggy. So things will start
off of social media.
But what's the number?
No. But
what's the number when you start getting paid?
No. But here's the one thing.
I think there's a number like when you could start getting paid. I think Instagram's like 10,000 followers.
Yeah, Mutt's been chasing it, right? Yes, Mutt's chasing the followers so you get paid on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram's like 10,000.
Really?
Yeah.
And Twitter's got to be more than 10,000.
I don't know what Twitter is.
Okay. The one thing I will say is just that, you know, like some of those people too, if you're following someone and I follow you, like they would feel like not as giving you their every thought. All times of the day would be such a crime to society. I don't want to be one of those people. Oh, I went over today to Pino's Pizza in Brookline, and it was great. I just don't want to be one.
See
of those.
See that little drop there?
Yeah, Pino's Pizza. He wants to get paid for his tweet.
Pino's, call him. They'll tweet about you.
But
if he gets paid from Pino's, you got to tweet, I went to Pino's.
No, I don't. But what I'm just saying is that those people who just feel it's a crime if they don't share every thought that's on the top of their...
Well, you don't have to share every thought.
Right, I know.
You
it can
be
a time filler. You're sitting at the doctor's office waiting the 15 minutes.
Right,
maybe I tweet a little bit. Yeah, something funny happens.
You know?
You know, it's social media. Interact with your fan base.
I feel like my wife... Low profile! Like my wife does, she takes videos of people that are like unaware.
Oh, that's hilarious!
Yeah,
is that legal?
Well, I think
in public, it's
on Snapchat. Yeah,
public. In public, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
videotape of me naked,
like somebody's just sitting there and just going ham on their food, and you just like take a video of it, and then you know, kind of like they did with the bagel guy.
Oh yeah!
And now look at him.
Look at him. He's famous.
Something tells me the bagel guy knew he was being taped.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Once you start yelling in a public place, first thing people do is take out their phone.
That's it. Right. Yeah, they're Scorsese and Spielberg.
There you go.
Yep.
Go to Pino's.
You're not God. You're not my father. You're not my boss.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Have a public scene.
No. Right. Your feet will blow up. You'll have more followers.
You'll get paid for it.
You can get paid.
Yeah.
Influencer Mark James.
Influencer. 10,000 on Instagram, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that actually, now it's sort of like, whoa.
But I think I follow you on Instagram.
No, I neglected mine. I haven't posted in 4 years. Like, literally 4 years, Wiggy. Don't even bother. But maybe, all right, so there's some things to think about. You're right.
Kylie Jenner, you could do some, take some bikini photos.
No, that's
money,
okay.
That's
okay. All right, the Red Sox, they have fallen and have not gotten up. Last night, though, was an embarrassment, an absolute embarrassment. We'll get to that next. And what do the Sox need to do to turn around? And, Wiggy, why are they in this spot? How are they in this spot today when everything was going so good, especially after the All-Star break, that 8-1 win on Friday night against the Dodgers? It's all gone downhill since then. We'll get to that. Wiggy Hart and James right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.